Good morning, and thank you for listening to the broadcast for The Way That Leads to Life. My name is Brent Sciotta, and I'm filling in for Steve Klein. We want to invite you to study with us at Eastside. Today, we begin a short meeting with a guest speaker, Donnie Rader. Donnie's going to speak to us today at 3 p.m., then Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m., so come out and be with us. The address for the building is 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you have any questions about my lesson this morning, or you'd be interested to talk more about the Bible, text me at my cell number. Here it is. It's 256-206-2057. In Philippians 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul speaks of two sisters in the church at Philippi. Their names were Euodias and Syntyche, and Paul urges them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul then asks his true companion at Philippi to help them be of the same mind. I don't know who that companion was there at Philippi, but Paul asked him to help these women be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, helping Christians to be of the same mind in the Lord may be similar in task to helping people initially accept the gospel of Christ, in this sense, that our job is to teach and persuade and encourage others to do the will of God. In considering the idea of helping others to be of the same mind in the Lord, what I'd like to do is examine the first four verses of Philippians chapter 2. Let me read those verses to you. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul says in verse 1, if there be therefore any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion. You know, we can't read the book of Philippians and not see the encouragement, love, fellowship, and affection that there is in Christ. I take it that Paul's making an appeal to these brethren in these verses, leveraging his appeal on the grounds of the obvious existence of these benefits that we have in Christ that he shows us in verse 1. In other words, when he says, if there be therefore any of these things, this encouragement and love and fellowship and affection, if there be any of these things, he's saying that since these things exist, or because these things exist, or with these things in mind, he says, fulfill my joy. So Paul's heartfelt request is that they complete his joy by having a proper mindset that he's going to describe in these verses. First, let me give you a sampling of these benefits in Christ that Paul notes. In other words, this encouragement and love and fellowship and affection that there is in Christ. Let me give you a sampling of these things that we see throughout the book of Philippians. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul says that he is thankful to God. In other words, I take it that he's receiving encouragement in Christ from these brethren because of their fellowship to him. You know, they've helped him out, they've sent to his aid. And so he's receiving encouragement in Christ because of these brethren. In chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says that he'd rather just leave and go home and be with Christ, but he wants to stay around to help them. And again, I see the affection that Paul has for these brethren in Christ. In chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 26, Paul says that he felt it necessary to send Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus longed to see these brethren because they'd heard that he'd been sick. So again, there's affection and compassion in Christ among these brethren. In verse 29, Philippians 2:29, Paul encouraged these brethren to receive men like Epaphroditus because he risked his life for the work. Hold such men in reputation, he tells them. So there should be deep affection in Christ because of the work. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, and then again in verse 21, Paul describes in these passages how that we press on to perfection. And one day, Jesus will change our body to be just like his. So there's encouragement in Christ with the hope of a glorious body. In chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Pray to God, and the peace of God will comfort you." Then again in verse 9, he says, "Do the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and God will be with you." So I see great encouragement in Christ that the Creator can be with us when we do His will and when we pray to Him. So maybe on the basis of these benefits that we have in Christ, Paul is pleading with them on his behalf to complete his joy by having the proper mindset that he's about to describe to them. Now, Paul was already joyful and encouraged by these brethren. He refers to their fellowship to him in chapter 1 and verse 5, and also in chapter 4 and verse 10, and he calls them his joy and crown in chapter 4 and verse 1. So he was already joyful and encouraged by these brethren, but he wants them to complete his joy by letting him see their obedience to God in a critical area. There's a mindset that Paul is telling them that they should have and that we should have. In verse 2, Philippians 2, verse 2, Paul asks them, "Complete my joy, fulfill my joy, and have these traits." He says, "Be like-minded." In other words, be of the same mind. Have the same love. Be of one accord. Or, as the New American Standard says, united in spirit. And be of one mind. Have this intent, be intent on one purpose. So be like-minded. Be of one mind. Have the same love. Be of one accord. Note that the mind, that the word mind at the beginning and the end of verse 2 is the same word. Be of the same mind, be of one mind. Yet the instruction is not only to be of the same mind, but to be of one mind. Let me give you an illustration on something. Remember one time how that Philip asked Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." What did Jesus say? In John 14, verse 9, Jesus replied to Philip. He said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." You want me to show you the Father, but you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what's Jesus' point? Jesus and the Father are the same, but they're also one. You remember Jesus' prayer in John 17. Jesus prayed that his disciples be one, even as we are one. As the Father and Jesus are one, we need to be one. So we should have the same mind, but we should also be of one mind, intent on one purpose, just as Jesus and the Father are intent on one purpose. So they're the same, but they're one. So Paul says here, be of the same mind, be of one mind. A proper mind is critical for disciples, and Paul wants us to understand its importance. You remember from Jesus' prayer in John 17, the benefit of his disciples being one? In John 17, verse 21, Jesus said, "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." So do we act with that aim in mind, that we too want the world to believe that God sent Jesus? Or does our disobedience in this area of having the same mind, being of one mind with brethren, does our disobedience in this area cause God rather to be evil spoken of? No, we want the same thing that Jesus wanted, that the world believe that God sent him. So we don't want to work against Jesus and God. We want to work with them. So let's have this same mind that Paul shows us to have here in Philippians 2. Well, how can we know how to be of this one mind? Will the instructions on how to do it come from our gut feelings? You know, do we just, as we see in the book of Judges, Judges 21, verse 25, just every man do what's right in his own eyes? You know, I just come up with it on my own, and you come up with it on your own? Later in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, we see that Jesus is the model for our mind. If we truly want to be like Jesus and be his disciple and be one with him and with the Father, we'll need to keep Jesus' words, right? In John 8, verse 31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." So the way that we're going to know how to have the proper mind that Jesus had is to study the gospel, the words that were given to us by the Holy Spirit from the mind of God. So we don't just go by our own gut feelings on how to be one with Jesus and with others. We need to go by the Holy Spirit's gut feelings, you might say, by looking at His Word, looking into the Scriptures, the Word of God. And when we follow that, we can be one with Jesus, and we'll be one with others. Let's consider some examples of how Christians can accomplish this one mind. Paul said, be of one mind. Be of the same mind. Let's look at some examples of how we can accomplish that. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, these women, Euodias and Syntyche, they were at odds with one another in some way. The Lord didn't tell us exactly how they were not of the same mind. So I might say that this passage could stand as a model. We don't know who this true companion was at Philippi. Paul addresses the true companion and says, help them. But what we do know is, and what we can consider is, that Paul asked this companion to do his part and help him. Now, they may not have accepted this companion's help. You know, Paul said, help them, true companion, be of the same mind. They may not have accepted that, but Paul's companion at Philippi would have done what he could to help them. And so that's what we need to do. We need to take the initiative and help others to be one. Also consider that we have the tools that we need in the gospel and wisdom from God. We can study His Word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and see how that we see in those passages that the Word of God is inspired, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we can study the Word of God. We can use those tools that we have from God. And we can pray for wisdom, James 1 verse 5. So we can do our part to help others continue in Jesus' Word. Remember that again in John 8 verse 31. If we continue in His Word, then we're truly His disciples. So we can help others to be of one mind by showing them the Word of God, helping them to continue in Jesus' Word. Again, others may reject the help, but we're sowing the seed, persuading others, we're doing our part. Just like that companion at Philippi, Paul said, help them be of the one mind, be of the same mind. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 to 13, Paul said this. He said to the church at Corinth, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Here the brethren at Corinth were not all of one mind because they revered men too much. We can strive to be of the same mind by teaching each other that we should not divide over men. Jesus is the one who died for us. Christ is central. So we can help others and point others to Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in chapter 10, in Romans 14, in those three chapters, in those three contexts, he shows us something here. He says, he shows us how that we can strive to be of the same mind and have the same love and be of one accord and of one mind about meats, for example, by following the instructions in those verses. We work toward that end by teaching each other the truth while at the same time forgoing what is unnecessary. That's what Paul was doing. In that context, he was teaching them the truth about meats, but he said, we could forgo what's unnecessary. Our aim is to help each other get to heaven, he shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll look more at those verses in a moment. Another thing we can do, we can strive to be of the same mind by coming together to consider the matters of God. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 6, it references a hot topic in that day. Some were binding part of the law of Moses on brethren. And so what did the brethren do? Well, they came together to consider that matter. So the way that Christians are going to be of the same mind is by helping each other, taking the initiative and helping each other, teaching each other, studying together, and by foregoing things that are unnecessary. Those are just some examples of what we can do to help each other come to be of one mind. Also note that the characteristics in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, these characteristics of being of the same mind, being of one mind, of one spirit, and the same love, those characteristics would not exclude doing things such as the following. Let me mention a couple of things. It would not exclude withdrawing company from brethren according to the instructions of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul describes how that we should not keep company with certain brethren. And so these characteristics in Philippians 2, verse 2, that of being of the same mind and being one mind, it's not going to keep us from withdrawing company from brethren that are not living according to God's word. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Not withdrawing company according to God's will is going to destroy unity in the gospel. As Paul shows in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 when he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Before long, people are going to be united in error rather than united with God in truth. And so we've got to live according to the gospel. We've got to walk in his word, as he shows us in John 8, verse 31, to truly be his disciple. We've got to withdraw company from brethren according to the instructions in the word of God. And Philippians chapter 2 is not going to exclude doing that. It's also not going to exclude convicting others of sin. False doctrine is serious. In Galatians 1, verse 9, Paul said, as we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. We can't go to heaven by teaching and following false doctrine. In Galatians 3, verse 1, Paul asked the brethren there of Galatia, he said, who bewitched you? Who tricked you? In other words, that you should not obey the truth. Not convicting others of sin is going to allow division to grow. Notice in Galatians 2, verse 13, that even the brother Barnabas was led away from the truth by Peter's hypocrisy, by the apostles' hypocrisy. Barnabas was led away. Not convicting others of sin allows more and more people to slip away from being one with God, so that they will not go to heaven. Remember, to truly be his disciple, John 8, 31, we've got to continue in the word. So our actions should be in an effort to help each other actually be of the same mind. It's not just a matter of simply imagining that we can live in harmony and error, but rather to truly have the mindset that God wants us to have and truly be of the same mind and of one mind, of the same, having the same love, and being united. In Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. According to the New American Standard, he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. You know, I've thought the angel's statement at the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 illustrates the mindset that we're studying about. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the King James renders this, that the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Our mind, as we see here in Philippians 2, our mind is not for division, but to glorify God, desire peace on earth, and have goodwill toward men. Looking at the New American Standard's rendering of Luke 2, verse 14, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. So if we're one with God, if we're abiding in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9, if we're continuing in his word, John 8, 31, then heaven desires peace among those with whom God is pleased. He wants peace among his believers. So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He goes on to say in verse 3, but in lowliness of mind or humility of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Count others more significant than ourselves. Back in Romans 14, we looked briefly at the text in 1 Corinthians 8 and 10 and Romans 14. But here in Romans 14, in verses 13 through 21, in that text, there's someone, say for conscience toward God, that he thinks that he needs to eat only vegetables. He can't eat meat. And according to verse 21, Romans 14, 21, we can go without the meat if that's going to cause him to sin. If that's going to cause a brother to sin by eating meat, then we can forego that. Because the kingdom of God is not all about meat and drink, as he shows. In Romans 14, 21, Paul said, "It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." If our meat is going to cause someone to sin, then we can forego it. Note the gravity of doing otherwise. In other words, of just forging ahead and eating the meat and causing them to sin. Note the gravity of doing that. He says in verse 15, "Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." And then in verse 20, "For meat destroy not the work of God." Remember how you felt when you were, say, a child and you built something out of Legos or blocks or something, and your brother or sister came along and just destroyed it. Think how you felt. Can we imagine how God feels when we destroy the people that he builds? Can we imagine how he feels? He said, "Destroy not with your meat the work of God." And then again in verse 4, Philippians 2, verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Don't just look out for yourself. Consider the following examples. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, think about Paul. Paul, you remember, wanted to stay around in this life to help the brethren at Philippi. He was out for their good. He was not just thinking about his own things. He didn't say, "Well, I'm just going to go home and be with God. That's what I want to do." No, he was looking out for them. So he's an example of that, of this mindset. Jesus is another example of this mindset that we're looking at here in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, the context shows us that Jesus was willing to take the form of a servant. He was willing to leave his form of God and become the form of a servant and be obedient unto death, even a humiliating death on the cross, in order to glorify God. Timothy is another example. In chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, Paul said, "There's no one like him. Others are busy with their own interest, but he's genuinely concerned for your welfare." Epaphroditus is a fourth example in the book. In Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30, Paul said, "He's a brother, he's a fellow worker, he's a fellow soldier, and he's a minister to my needs." Paul told the brethren there at Philippi to honor men such as him. He almost died for the work. So here in Philippians 2, verse 4, "Don't look every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Paul's a good example of that. Jesus is an example. Timothy and Epaphroditus. Let's read these four verses again. "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." So as we read Paul's instructions here in Philippians 2 about like-mindedness, we could approach it and be like Felix in the book of Acts. There in Acts 24 and verse 25, it says, "As Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee.'" We could be like Felix and put off developing these characteristics that we see here in Philippians 2. Or we can do as Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, and continue working out our salvation by actually obeying God's will, by letting God's word work in us. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you to both to will and to do of his good pleasure." The word of God won't do us a bit of good if we look at ourselves in the mirror of his word and then turn and walk away. James 2:25 says, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God has confidence in us, and we need to have confidence in the power of God's word. Let's do as Paul and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 14. One thing to do as we press toward that mark is to help others be one mind in the Lord.